And it is going to be gnarly, I can tell you that. We're going to thrash it out right here today. I'm picking up some new lingo. How you like that, huh? I'm going to drop the word. We've been in a series on the Holy Spirit called The Advantage. I've kind of lost exactly what part we're on. We've been talking about the gifts, and I want to kind of pick up there this morning. Our series is based on the powerful passage in John 16:7, saying that it'll be to your advantage. Jesus saying to his disciples that he'd walk with 3.5 years, it's going to be to your advantage if I go away. I'm sure that blew their minds. But absolutely, he was telling us the truth, that the Holy Spirit is meant to have such a close walk with you and I. He is meant to be our comfort and our help in every situation and circumstance in life. And he has gifts to give you. He has gifts that he wants to give you on a daily basis. My job is, as a pastor, is to really equip you to work and to walk in those gifts. And I last week I was really touched. I had two different folks came up to me. One came up and shared a little bit of a testimony of something that God had taught them that kind of I referenced last week. And then she said at the end, she said, "Pastor Jeff, I think this is supposed to be your book." And I don't know, we'll see about that. But that was very encouraging. And then Stephen came up, it was really, really precious, and just said, "Pastor Jeff, this has been so wonderful what you've been teaching on, because I'm in a lot of churches that don't understand this very well, and things don't exactly operate very well. And I think you're really, really giving us a gift here. And I would encourage you to put it in some kind of resource where it can continue to be accessed." So I really want to get practical. I really want to get down into the nitty-gritty and just teach you some things that I think will help you along the way, because God absolutely has gifted you, wants to gift you, wants to use you in the gifts, wants to even encourage you, listen, to strongly desire his gifts, the Holy Spirit's gifts. The word is zelo'o, okay, zelo'o, from the Greek. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts." Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Some translations put it this way, earnestly desire. Some say eagerly desire. Some say zealously desire. The word is zelo'o. It's an onomatopoeia type of word in the Greek, believe it or not. It literally, when you say it, it's to imitate the sound of boiling water. Boiling water. And it's a figurative expression that literally means to burn over or to bubble up because it's so hot with zeal. It means to be deeply committed to something with the implication of the accompanying desire for that, to be earnest, to set one's heart on, to be completely intent upon. Listen, if God wants to give you gifts and he wants you to want them that much, they must be important, amen? Right. Now, why are they important? It's not about you being gifted. This isn't in any way, shape, or form about you getting your face on the cover of Charisma Magazine, thank God. Okay, we don't need your face on Charisma Magazine. I think the Lord really wants to work through selfless servants who have no desire whatsoever for any kind of fame, any kind of glory. They just want to be people sold out for Jesus, making a difference in the everyday life that they live. That's what I think the Lord's looking for. We've had enough of the famous celebrity followers of Christ that have fell off of their thrones and that have left a black eye in the body of Christ. God's looking for people who are just sold out and all in and desire to serve him with everything they have and are earnestly desiring, boiling over, if you will, to let those gifts flow through them. Because let me just tell you, when God gives you a gift, listen, this is so important, you got to understand this. When God gives you a gift, it's so that you can give it to somebody else. It's not for you to keep and go, "Look at me, I'm so gifted. I'm so incredibly gifted, they should put me on a TV show. I should have my own radio show." No, it's not about that. God wants to give you gifts so you can distribute those gifts to others who are in deep need of them. And sometimes because it's the word gift, and like I told you, it's actually the word charisma from the Greek text, which means grace. It's a gracelet. It comes down from heaven. It's an energema. It's an empowering from the Lord that he wants to give you. And this morning I want to talk about, we've kind of divided the gifts, and I'm going to go back here real quick, so hang with me. But we've talked about three categories. And last week we talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. This morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit speaks, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Next week I've got a message that I think may be one of the most powerful and impacting of this series. I really want to encourage you to be here next week because I think I have something that's really going to be meaningful and deep to every one of you. But this morning, let's start with prophecy. And really, we'll spend the majority of our time on this particular of the three. A prophecy is this. It's a message of encouragement from God through a person to a person or persons. Okay, and honestly, we could do a very lengthy teaching on this. And we're just going to do this few minutes, this 2 hours on this one. So, okay, good. You guys are not worried if it goes 2 hours. I like that. Thank you for the encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies, listen to these words, but he who prophesies speaks edification. Everybody say edification. And exhortation. Everybody say exhortation. And comfort to men. Everybody say comfort to men. All right, now say comfort to women. Men and women both, right? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Pursue love. He starts out with these words, pursue love. Listen, I don't care how gifted you are. If you're not moving in the love of God, then 1 Corinthians 13 essentially says it this way, and this may be blunt, but I'm just kind of summarizing it. Shut up. Be quiet. You're a clanging brass, a gonging cymbal. You're a noise that doesn't need to be heard if you're not really, really walking in the love of God. Remember, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 are the gifts of the Spirit. Two powerful chapters, the most informative chapters in Scripture about the Holy Spirit-inspired energema, or gifts of the Holy Spirit. But right smack dab in the middle of them is a chapter about, listen, so 12 and 14 are the gifts of the Spirit, 13 is the Spirit of the gifts. It's all about the Spirit of the gifts. And what's the Spirit of the gifts? Love. The gifts of God will flow in an atmosphere where there is genuine love that has been born in our hearts through the Holy Spirit of God. Love for people. Even creepy people. Even people you don't necessarily feel comfortable with. Even people who have really different lifestyles than you do. Even people who look kind of strange and don't look exactly like you. If the love of God has been stirred up in your heart through the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit. In other words, God wants to fill you up with his love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you. And then that love comes forth in a gift that you give to someone. And oftentimes, listen, I've seen the gifts of God move most powerfully oftentimes in places where people didn't even know Jesus. Because I believe this. I believe God's absolutely about reaching and touching those who are lost. In fact, Jesus said it this way, I didn't come for those who were well, I came for those who were sick. And we've looked at it over the last couple of weeks where Jesus, oftentimes the gifts of God were flowing through him to people like the woman at the well who'd been married 5 times and needed to have that revealed so that her heart would open up and she'd receive the love of God to transform her life and bring salvation into her heart. That's an amazing operation of the gifts of the Spirit. But if you're not moving in love, and I think it's one of the challenges of the church today, is a fresh baptism of God's love for those that even are out there that quite honestly we just like to run and hide from. And we don't have any reason to run and hide, except to run and hide in our prayer closet and to say, Jesus, baptize me afresh with your love. Baptize me afresh with your Spirit and send me out into the harvest field of this world that I might be that touch point of love to those that look at the church and think it's nothing but hypocritical and wanting your money and judgmental. Let me be the one that helps them see you in a different light. Amen? So, you know what? Here's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. It says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. How many of you have ever received a prophecy that didn't edify, exhort, or comfort? I have. I've received some that quite honestly made me go, what? I've received some that made me go, uh-uh. I've received some that I looked at the person and I thought, you know what? I've been with Jesus all day and he didn't say anything like that to me. I don't know where you're coming from, but I don't accept that. Because listen, New Testament prophecy has these boundaries, these guidelines, this instruction that's so important. Listen, the Word of God is so precious and important to us. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Did you notice it doesn't say anything about correction? That New Testament prophecy doesn't say anything about it being a corrective word. It says it's a word that, listen, and let me just put it in different language, because we don't go around a whole lot going, you know, hey, I'm here to edify you. You know, we don't, you know, come over here, I need to exhort you a little bit. We don't use that language a whole lot. So let me just break it down and help you understand it a little bit. Edification means to build somebody up. To build somebody up, okay? Exhortation means, it's exhortation is a strong encouragement that stirs people up to action. And then comfort. You know what comfort does? Comfort lifts us up. How many of you have ever been really down? You need to lift it up. Just me, huh? Anyway, you know, the Lord sent people along for me. So, you know, if you ever get that way, God may send somebody to you. Prophecy, listen, prophecy, let me just put it this way, is putting courage into people through the word of the Lord. It's bringing courage, encouragement. That means to put courage inside of somebody who's struggling, who's just making it, who doesn't feel like they can hang on much longer. But somebody comes and they have a fresh word from the Lord. And listen, as that word comes into their heart and their spirit, it just lifts them. It stirs them. It comforts them. Listen, just because prophecy doesn't say anything about correction doesn't mean that you and I are never to correct one another. We know that's not true. The Bible says we're to speak the truth in love to one another, right? But that's not necessarily in the prophetic sense, okay? That's sitting down as a brother or sister and saying, I'm concerned about you and I love you. Galatians 6:1 says it like this, brethren, if a man's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Several years ago, I had a test. You know, it was a test from the Lord to see how I would act or react, quite honestly. Sometimes I find myself acting in the Spirit more than I react in the Spirit. Anybody here with me on that one? Sometimes I can act in the Spirit, and then something happens, and I react in my flesh. But I remember sitting in a barber chair one time, and the person cutting my hair was talking about one of the famous personalities in the body of Christ who had fell, and they were being extremely critical and judgmental and putting them down and speaking all kinds of things. And I felt it was a test. Was I going to chime right in and go right along with them? Because that was kind of the easy thing to do. You know, yeah, you're right. They should have never done this, and I didn't like the way they did that, and you know, yeah. But I felt a check from the Lord not to react that way. And I'll tell you why, just because of what Galatians 6:1 said. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Restore somebody in gentleness. We get so harsh even in the body of Christ with the way we treat one another. You ever seen that? Some people say we're the only army that eats its dead. You know, I mean, that eats its wounded. That should never be that way, right? We all make mistakes along the way. Do we restore each other gently in a loving fashion the way the Lord would encourage us to? Or do we become harsh and critical and turn against one another? It was a test, and I said, you know, I'm not gonna react that way. And every time I've heard that, I try to walk in that same spirit thinking, you know what, Lord? Without your grace and your goodness, I could go in the same direction. I could do the same things. Maybe not to the same magnitude, but I could do the same thing. And Lord, help that person and be with them and gently pour your love out on them and restore them. Just reading this week, I don't know how many of you saw that, but Mark Driscoll just came forth with his first public interview, and Brian Houston from Hillsong's interviewed Mark Driscoll, which is kind of an interesting pairing of two guys who really are in different camps in the body of Christ, if you know anything about the body of Christ. And one of the things Mark Driscoll and his wife said is, we've been amazed by the amount of people from the body of Christ from different camps, not the camp we were a part of. The camp we were a part of have been the most critical, the most harsh, and most judgmental. People from other camps in the body of Christ have come in with such love and grace toward us. Very interesting. So, when you have something prophetic, by the way, let me just say this. Don't say, thus saith the Lord. Please don't do that. Please spare us that. Okay? You're not an Old Testament prophet. You're not an Old Testament prophet. This is New Testament. By the way, prophecies by faith, we're speaking by faith to one another. Romans 12:6 says this, having then gifts differing according to the graces given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. How many of you believe the Lord could use you? He could give you an encouraging, edifying, comforting word for someone else. Amen. That's good to see the hands lifted there. 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. For you can all prophesy, verse 31, one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And listen, 32, and the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophets. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Listen, prophecy is a gift that you grow in, that you learn in. That's why I'm saying don't use big bombastic terms like thus saith the Lord, because you know what you're doing then is you're taking and putting what you're about to say on par with scripture, and it's not, because it's coming through a fallible human vessel, you. And even though the Lord may be inspiring you, listen, just don't take that step. I've heard crazy stories about people prophesying things that, quite honestly, they're just embarrassing. One guy got up in front of the body of Christ in some local church and said, thus saith the Lord, as my servant Noah parted the Red Sea, he will part the way for you and make a way for you when there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the prophet went back, sat down. His wife nudged him and said, that wasn't Noah, honey. That was Moses. He jumps back up and goes, thus saith the Lord, oops, I meant Moses. You know what that does? That just makes everybody think we're flaky. We're crazy. Because we're getting out of bounds and we're mixing things up, and we create a scenario where people, quite honestly, and this is one of the things that saddens my heart so deeply, is when people take the things of the Spirit, and because they've seen abuse and misuse and craziness and disorder and confusion, and they take the things of the Spirit and they just throw them out. Kind of the baby with the bathwater. And there's a lot of us that have been there and seen that and experienced that. But I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely convinced the things of the Spirit are for today. And not only am I convinced of that, I'm convinced even more so that we desperately need them. Amen. And if we lose this, we lose a powerful part of what God has equipped us with to reach and touch this world with His love. So be careful, not because you've come across a crazy charismatic. Be careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's go back to Scripture and let's look at how things are supposed to operate. Listen, for God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Verse 32 is very interesting to me. In the spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet. Listen, it doesn't say the word of the prophet, subject to the prophet. It literally says the spirit of the prophet. That's interesting to me. Was it said the right way? Was it said with the right spirit? Was it said so that it built up, that it lifted up, that it encouraged? Or was it said in a way that was harsh and demeaning and drew attention to that person rather than bringing the love of God to the recipient? See how sometimes we've done things in such a way that quite honestly have cast a bad light on the Father's heart. The Father's heart's good. The Father absolutely wants you and I to be vessels who are bringing forth the love of God to people. Prophecy is a gift we learn and we grow in. But in order to do that, you've got to have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Listen, there's been so many times in my life, let me just bring this down to my own personal level, where I was wondering or doubting or in great need, and God sent someone with an encouraging prophetic word to me. I had one season of my life where it was in the early days of this church, and Tracy and I had gone through some really tough times. We'd had some betrayal, and we'd had some loss. And just so happened in that season, I had some different things going on, and I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was our Foursquare convention, and I'll never forget it. God sent a friend of mine that I have great respect for. He had a prophetic word for my heart that in that season where I was just vulnerable and I was tender and I was wondering and it was tough, and that word just lifted my heart. Oh my gosh. I just can't tell you how much it lifted my heart. Not long after that, God had given me this opportunity to go to Southern Indiana to a church, and I was helping train a team for a mission trip. And I'll never forget it. Same season, totally different place, totally different group of people. And we'd come in, and they were having a service, and our group had sat down in the back, and we were waiting for our opportunity to train this mission team. And as they were in the midst of their service, a man got up with a prophetic word, and he looked out at the audience, and he saw me in the very back, and he pointed me out. And I knew it was getting ready to happen. I oftentimes have that sense before somebody gives me a word that it's coming. And I don't know, maybe the Lord just helps me because I'm a little paranoid or something. But he said, "Stand up, young man." And he gave me this incredible prophetic word that once again lifted my spirits like nothing else. And then Tracy and I, just in that same season, we were in California for a missions training. And our dear friend Dan Sneed, who's been here and ministered a couple of times, it was probably the first time I'd ever met Dan. You know, here we were in a group of people in California, and same exact thing happened. He just looked out and he said, "Young man." By the way, you guys can still call me young man if you like. That'd be really encouraging right there. That'd be prophetic. Encouraging. Might not be true, but no, I'm just kidding. That would not be a prophetic word. But anyway, stand up, you know. And I stood up, and the same word. Three places, three different groups of people, not necessarily related to one another, none of them knowing my situation. How many of you think that might just have been the Lord? God's good. He's really good. And I hope, and you know, I could maybe share a few of these with you too, but I hope also that I've been that vessel of encouragement and exhortation and comfort to others. So, you know, a couple more things. I just want to finish this message real quick, okay? The second one is tongues, a message from God in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. It's talking about, Paul's talking here in 1 Corinthians 14. And next week I'm gonna get into this a little more, and it'll be a little different message, but I think it's going to be a really powerful one for you. I'm not going to get into all of this morning, but it's very interesting because in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's talking about two different things, and he's talking about them kind of one beside the other, compare, contrast. He's talking about the difference between a personal prayer language that God wants to give every single believer and a corporate functioning of a gift called a message in tongues. A message in tongues, okay, is a message from God to his people through a vessel. It always requires, Scripture says, an interpretation, okay? It's for the corporate setting. Now, it's interesting because that message in tongues requires an interpretation, which is the third thing we're talking about today, interpretation of tongues, which is understanding and expressing the thought or intent of the message in tongues. And it's interesting because if there's a message and an interpretation, it's equivalent to a prophetic word. It's really the same thing. It's just manifesting in a different way through two people instead of one. And sometimes the message comes from the same person who gives the interpretation. But it's still meant to edify and exhort and comfort the body of Christ. So I could spend a lot more time. Next week I'm going to help you understand that hopefully a little bit better, the difference. But it's interesting. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. This puts those two on the same level. Interpretation of tongues is probably one of the least understood of the gifts of the Spirit. Paul concludes the chapter in verse 14 like this. He says in verse 37 through 40, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. That's strong language from the Apostle Paul. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, here it is again, zelo'o. That bubbling up with such an intense desire to prophesy. Why do we need that so much? Because we need the encouragement. We need the exhortation. We need to be lifted up. It's the beauty of this thing called the body of Christ. Amen? We're to be there for one another. I just can't tell you how much that's meant to me over the years. God has always been spot on with bringing those words in those deepest moments that I needed them. And he wants you to be a vessel to be able to bring that to someone else. He wants me to be a vessel to be able to bring that to someone else. Does that make sense? So powerful. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Can I tell you what a lot of our churches have done? We've been so focused on being decent and in order that we forgot to let all these things be done. Think about it like that for a moment, would you? We have what we call here every Sunday, maybe you've heard me use this term, a natural break, a supernatural opportunity. And I learned this from one of my heroes of the faith, Pastor Jack Hayford, that God has given me the privilege and honor, and it's something I take very seriously. That when someone senses a prophetic word for the body, that Tracy and I were up here, we're willing, ready, receptive to be the gatekeepers for what would be released to the body and what wouldn't. So sometimes you may have seen this happen where somebody will come up while during worship and just share with me they sense something from the Lord. There's been several of you who've done that. John's done that many times. My buddy Keegan's done that. Several others have done that along the way, just sense something from the Lord. And here's what I do, and I take it very seriously. I listen intently, and I really try to discern, is that a word for them? Is that a word for the church? Is that a word? And if it's a word for the church, then I look for a time and an opportunity to be able to share that with you. Because I want you to receive from the Lord the encouragement and the edification and the comfort that He wants to bring you. It's a natural break and a supernatural opportunity. So my response is generally one of three things. It's, okay, hold on, and I'll give you an opportunity in a moment to share that. Or, you know what, I don't really sense that's for right now. Or maybe, you know what, I think that might just be for you. So I just want you to know, we want to practice those things that are absolutely biblical and a part of what God intends to lift up His body with. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If you're here today and you have not yet made a personal commitment to Christ in your own heart, and your head's bowed and